and a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win over East Fife, preview the visit of Stranraer, and we weighed in on the pyro debate. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I'm Colin Byers, and with me, as usual, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you enjoying the dark nights now?
Oh, it's a rare joy, isn't it? It's an absolute treat. You leave Balmoor and it's freezing cold and it's dark as well. But other than that, can I complain?
And then in a couple of weeks' time when we get there at 3 o'clock, it'll be dark as well. So, yeah, the joys of the winter. I notice you've not got your big light on yet either. You're sitting in the dark.
I'm reluctant to put the big light on. You know, it's like the black blue illuminations in your face when the big light comes on.
You're relying on the street lights outside, is that what it is?
Aye, neither. They aren't any great these days, are they?
No, they're not solar powered. Did you go to the bonfire at the weekend there?
No, we didn't. We had other plans on the Sunday. We didn't, but well, I've seen all the pictures and the folk in the tune, and also there was the Northern Lights lighting up the sky as well. There's a lot of photos of that. So, aye, by all accounts, it was a good spectacle. Did you go?
No, I didn't. We was busy watching the Strictly results show. That's where Sunday night.
Controversial decision this week, some would say.
No, I don't think so. I think it was the right. I think maybe the wrong Angela was in the dance off, like. But I certainly think Adam was due to go.
I think the fact he was in the bottom two last week as well probably played a part. And I don't think the judges would ever get a vote off Angela.
No, not yet.
I think that was a stick on.
Yeah, not yet. Get up to Blackpool and then we'll see what happens after that. Right, let's get cracking with the actual football stuff. As again, that's why most folk are listening. We've done a couple of these Friday Lives. We've got another one organised for this month. It seems to be we're now going to be doing it monthly. Whether or not that's going to continue after this scene or not.
But we've managed to,
the jury's still out. But we've got Joe McKee coming up on Friday the 10th, which should be a good one. So as usual, we'll be live on Facebook at 7 o'clock, and you can get your comments and questions into him or during the broadcast. Obviously, if you kind of watch it live, you can still watch it later on as well. So I think it would be a good one. One of the new ones as well, one of the summer signings, so it'd be good to get his take on a few things, like how he's enjoying life at Peterhead, etc. And just the kind of the reasons why he's made the trip up to Peterhead.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. We've been big admirers of Joe since he came into the club. And it'll be really nice to speak to him. Obviously, he's a new player that's come in over the summer. And I'll be interested to see what he makes of, you know, the players who were there last season, how they're feeling, and then also how well we've started the season this year as well. So, yeah, really, really looking forward to it. Hopefully, it'll be well attended by the viewers as well.
Yeah, it should be a good one. And listen, if there's anybody that you think you would like us to get on, have a chat with, it is live, and it's good to get that interaction as well. Let us ken. Always up for suggestions and ideas of different folk. Obviously, we've got people that we would like as well, but if there's anybody you think might be a good one, just let us ken.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if we've maybe had them on the podcast recently, you can, like Jordan, we've had on a few times now, but you know, the live ones are always, they always seem to be well attended, especially on a Friday night, folk off their work and whatnot, looking towards the games as well. So yeah, the more people that we've got tuning in, the better it is for the players. You know, ultimately that's why we're doing it. You want to hear more for the players than probably you do for us. So yeah, the more questions you've got coming in, the better.
And it's interesting because it is a Friday night. It's the night before a game as well. We preview the games through the week anyway, but it's good to get their kind of take, especially if there's any sort of niggling injuries that's maybe been picked up in training, things that we haven't picked up on, and just get their take on how they're maybe going to be preparing for a game on the Saturday.
Yeah, I think the one when we spoke to Jason a couple of weeks ago before the Dundee United game, obviously with the change of kick-off time, and obviously he was telling us off air that you know, it's only a couple of hours of difference, but it does make a big difference to them in terms of their preparation and their meals and, you know, when they do their things. So, yeah, I think it's good. Obviously, we preview the game 5 days in advance. A lot can change. There's still 2 training sessions to go and players have got their work. So a lot can change in that time. And I think it's always good to hear from guys the night before and how they're feeling and what they think of the game.
Yeah, so that'll be Friday at 7 o'clock live on Facebook. If you can be there, please do join in. Right, so Saturday's game against East Fife. Back to league business after the cup escapades. 2-0 win, it was in the end. We probably weren't at our best. It certainly wouldn't be going down as one of our performances of the season, but importantly, it's 3 points, it's another 2 goals, it's another clean sheet, and pretty much what we're expecting these days.
Yeah, you'll certainly file it under the category of job done. I think it was quite a flat performance, if we're being honest. And probably a performance that, you know, when you look back at the end of the season, you'll look back on it and you'll think it's a vital win. You know, it's against a team that was heavily tipped to be promotion favourites or in the around that conversation. It's not quite happened for them so far, but I still think they're a very good side. You know, and it was good to get the win. It's now 5 goals we've scored against them, 0 conceded. And yeah, whilst I don't think the performance was great, I think that was reiterated by Jason and Ryan in their post-match comments as well. It was job done, you know, another clean sheet to add to the tally as well, and, you know, Kieran Shanks chipping in with another goal. So I think overall it was, you're ticking off the checklist as job done, but it certainly wasn't a great performance. But at this stage of the season, it's just a case of grinding out results. And, you know, I think when we look back at the end of the season, as you said, it wouldn't be a classic to look back on, but I'll certainly think it'll be one that'll be a case of we got the job done and that's what was needed.
And Jason rightly said in his post-match after the game, he said it's a sign of a good team that they're playing well, but they can still grind out these 3 points. And I say grind out, I don't even think we sort of grounded it out really as such. It wasn't like we sneaked a 1-0 and that was it. It was back to the one, we sneaked a 1-0. But I certainly think there was a big difference between first half and second half in our performance.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it was a bad performance at all. I think the standards that the guys have set so far this season, that's what we're comparing it to. And I think if you look back at some of the games that we've had at home this season, yeah, it certainly wouldn't rank up there with a great one, but it's a 2-0 win against, as I said, a team that's tipped to be in that conversation. Whether it happens or not at the end of the season is a different story. But, you know, like we said, they weren't playing at their best. They got the win, and that was always needed.
There were 6 changes to the lineup. Previously, there was 5 changes in the cup. There were 6 this time round. So Jason Brown came back in, Ryan Strachan, Andy McCarthy, Kieran Shanks, Joe McKee and Conor O'Keefe all started. Out went Goldie, Wilson, Armstrong, Jordan himself, Wardy and Aaron Reid dropped to the bench as well. So are we then thinking that lineup is our strongest, that Ryan and Jordan think is our strongest?
Probably, yeah. I think on paper it would be our strongest side. I think that was evident when those 6 came back in after the cup game. I think we mentioned it last week. I don't think any player did ourselves any harm with our performance, but I think if you were to go through the 1-11, your best 11, I think that would be the team that played on Saturday.
Hamish Ritchie's obviously out at the moment. Does he come into the reckoning as being obviously one of our better players? But if he's fit and ready to go, does he sort of come into that reckoning? I know he'd been off the bench quite a few times, but obviously with the lead up to his operation again. Other than Hamish Ritchie, would you say the rest are very much on the fringes?
Possibly, yeah. It's a weird one, fringes, because I think it's very much a squad game. We've seen that with the players that come off the bench on Saturday. I don't think it would be described as fringes as such, but these are guys that, you know, if they are going to get into the first 11, they're going to have to do something a wee bit different in training, trying, you know, take that next step up. Like, so I'll use Jordan Armstrong as an example. I don't think he's done too much wrong since he came into the club. But when you've got guys like Zidane Strachan playing in front of him, who did such a really good job at left-back on Saturday, it's difficult to leave somebody like him out. So, yeah, I don't think players are playing bad that are maybe sitting on the bench, but they're maybe just looking for that something different from them to, you know, get into the first team right now.
And I think as well, if it's maybe going against some of these players, like Sadani, as you said there, and Scott Ross, for example, as well, can play in a couple of different positions, two or three different positions as well. So if they're playing well in one position and then be moved to another position to maybe, like Scott Ross, for example, Danny was playing right-back last week, played left-back today, Scott Ross back to playing right-back because Jason and Ryan were back in again. Suddenly, these players are playing well, but they're playing well in a couple of different positions, and that's, again, what I'm saying about these players that are on the fringes, like Armstrong, like David Wilson. They're going to have to, if they do get an opportunity to play because somebody's out injured or suspended, they're going to have to play at their absolute best, and they to be dropped again.
Yeah, that's the advantage I think we've got this season. We've got a lot of guys that can play in different roles. We mentioned that a lot last season, square pegs and round holes, but I think this year the guys that are doing the different, you know, like Sadani, you can play right back, left back, whatever. He's very good and accomplished at all the positions. And I think last year we certainly didn't hate that. And yeah, some players, I think, again, I'll use Jordan Armstrong as an example. He's a natural left-footed player and he likes to get up and doing that left-hand side. But Danny just seems to be performing consistently well week in, week out. I think Jordan's maybe been playing at 6 and 7, whereas Danny's playing at 7 and 8. And that's just that slight difference. And I'm sure there'll be a case in the season when these guys who are maybe sitting on the bench now will be called upon for a prolonged period of time. And it's just a case of being patient and waiting for that opportunity. But when they do get that opportunity, they've got to grab it with both hands.
Certainly the first half, the beginning of the first half, certainly East Fife were the better side. Certainly had a lot of the ball. We sort of had to weather a bit of a storm for the first 10 minutes. Without really East Fife causing us any problems as such, I think McKenzie maybe had the one save. There was the one where he came to make a clearance but sort of mishit it and it fell to East Fife players and it didn't really do much. So it was a bit of a slower start for us. We've been sort of used to in the last few games that we're getting off to a flying start, scoring early. And it was that was maybe the sign of us just not being at it for the very start on Saturday.
Yeah, different sort of performance. We didn't start off great. I'd like you, I think, sure, just had the one save that he parried away in the first half. And whilst I thought East Fife had a lot of the ball, they were certainly trying to, I think, use Danny Strachan's side doing our left. They used that as our out ball. But I don't think they caused us too much problem. I think they had a lot of the ball in the first 20 minutes in comparison to what we did. But I didn't think we were ever really at danger at any point. I thought the back four were in good shape and they were never really caught out of position either. So other than that 20 minutes, I don't think we were that bad in the game. I was glad that we came through that 20-minute period sort of unscathed, but I don't think it caused us that much problems, if I'm being honest.
It took us still about the 15th minute before we really got an effort on goal. Kieran Shanks' header after McAllister had set him up. I think it was a long ball forward and McAllister got the header back towards goal and Shanks heads it over and that was the first real chance of the game, I think. And if Shanks looks at that one again, I think we said on Saturday, he just needs to just sort of caress the ball towards the goal rather than try to get any power on it because all the power was in McAllister's header.
Yeah, he just needs to sort of glance at Dizzy. I think when if he looks back on it, he'll probably agree that he just needs to get a very slight contact on it. All the pace is on the ball and he's trying to try to put even more pace on it, and as a result of that, he's lost the direction of the ball. But yeah, I'm sure looking back on it, he'll maybe wish he'd just glanced at it.
And East Fife's best chance of the half came for, I think it was Shepherd, McKenzie with a good save down to his right-hand side. And again, they had a lot of the possession without really troubling McKenzie too much, other than that one there.
Yeah, like I said, I think off the top of my head, I'm sure just had one save in the first half. And that's testament to the guys in front of him, the nullified East Fife. I think they had a lot of the ball, but they didn't cause us much problems. And I think maybe at the start of the season it might have been a different story where they might have gotten more efforts on goal. But, you know, I think just now we're looking really solid at the back. Nae playing great. You know, in Ryan's words, we weren't quite at it. But we're able to keep a clean sheet. And, yeah, I think East Fife didn't really cause us that many problems. They didn't get much shots on target, although they had quite a lot of the ball.
I think they end up with two shots on target for the whole game. And I think both of them were in the first half, seven off target. So they really sort of, I wouldn't say flatter to deceive, but they really didn't cause us too much problems. And again, as you said, it's probably due to the defensive organisation that we've got there now.
Yeah, a lot of huffing and puffing without really doing anything with it. I think where the partnership now with Ryan and Jason at the back is absolutely solid. You know, I think now teams are, you know, they're realising that we're a difficult team to break down.
The opening goal came for Kieran Shanks just before half time. Funnily enough, it came from a misplaced pass, shall we say, for Danny Strachan, or perhaps maybe that was the pass he was aiming for. He was wanting McKenzie to go a little bit wider than he was wanting to be. But McKenzie not giving it up, not sort of letting it roll out, got the ball and then long ball up, flicked on by McAllister, and then Shanks ran onto it, one touch to control, and then second touch was a shot into the bottom corner, and a really good finish. Not thrashing at it, just getting it on target, and doing what we now expect of Shanks, and that's to score most games.
And I really like this goal. It's completely different, really, to fit we've done most of the season. We've done a lot of good work. There's a lot of intricate play and a lot of off-the-ball movement. This is simply a route one goalkeeper target man to your forward up top, and he's finished it. Really good finish. We were right behind it in the stands as we looked behind Kieran. You could see he'd only one thought in his mind. He was getting it on his left foot, which sort of shepherded it away from the defender, and he's put it under the goalkeeper. But like I said, it's a different sort of goal. It's pretty in a different sense in terms of it's a long ball, the flick on, and then right into Kieran's pass. I think that link-up play between Rory McAllister and Kieran's getting better. You know, as the weeks go on, they've got a really good understanding, and that sort of paid off on Saturday with the flick on and the goal.
Much like if we were saying, about, you know, it's a sign of a good team that we're winning games without particularly playing well. Sign of a good striker, sign of a confident striker, sign of somebody who's bang in form, is that he's only going to need one or two chances and he's going to score.
Yeah, I think if you give Kieran a couple of chances, he's going to score at least one. And I thought that last season as well, when we were really, really struggling, I thought if you give him a chance, he's likely going to score. I think he's got that natural instinct in front of goal. He knows where the goal is. It's so cliched, but the goal's going to move. And it's just, you know, where you can get the ball off and your shot away. And you know, I certainly think as the season goes on, he's only going to get better. I'm still tipping him to be the top goal scorer in League Two. I certainly think he's got the ability for it. And, you know, I think he started off the season, especially the first quarter. Obviously, it ended 2 weeks ago, but he's, you know, he's sitting top of the pile at the moment.
Yeah, he's sitting joint top, I think, along with Conor Keefe, who's got five as well in the league. But
yeah.
Overall, Shanks is now with 9 for the season. In his last 10 games, he's got 12 contributions. Goal contributions, I should say, 8 goals, 4 assists. So he really has been on fire recently. And it's interesting that's maybe come about with Rory McAllister coming in as well. But I also think as well it's come with the switch of formation, the change of going for the 4-2-3-1, switching it to the 4-4-2, and getting, you know, the wingers to get these crosses in, get the balls into them.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I think the link-up now with Rory McAllister is really good. I think the two of them being up top, they work well with each other. I think the way that Kieran works as a striker, he's willing to run, you know, and get across defender. It makes it a lot easier. You know, McAllister will know roughly where he's going to be. It makes it easier for McAllister. Obviously, he's at an age now where he's not got to do the running in behind, and you wouldn't expect him to. And I think their partnership is working really well, and I think Kieran's learning a lot off him. I think there's maybe you're starting to see a lot more in Kieran of what you maybe seen in Rory McAllister in years gone by in terms of when to come short, when to hold up the ball, when to run in behind. And I think the two of them, as the season goes on, I think Kieran will get more goals, but I think McAllister's assist will certainly increase as well.
And it's good to see that he's chipping in with the assists as well, so his all-round play is getting better.
Oh, absolutely. He's a young striker. He's going to improve as the season goes on. I've got no doubt about that. And if he's going to continue to score goals and contribute with assists as well, it means that we're going to have a very good season.
And just before half-time, I think East Fife, the one and only time they got in behind Danny Strachan, Mitchell was slipped in, and Danny had tried to intercept it but missed it. But McKenzie, sharp off his line, come out and stopped Mitchell from getting in and getting a shot. So you go back to what we're saying, even though there is a mistake there, McKenzie's out, and defensively we're looking pretty solid.
Yeah, Mitchell sort of lifted his head, realised he was through in goal, and then he just seen the big wall of Stuart McKenzie in the bright orange kit there right at him. Not only has McKenzie gone doing well to save it, he's followed it up as well, and teamed the ball back into his box, and then, you know, the attack came to the end. But just the way the striker, he's lifted his head up and he's just seen big Stuart right there at him, and yeah, Stuart was never going to be getting beat from that area.
You've mentioned bright kits, we've got to mention East Fife's pink kit. It's first time I've seen it. You're not going to miss it, let's put it that way. Maybe because it is the Dark Knights, that's maybe why they've brought it to you. But by Christ, that was a bright kit.
Aye, so we mentioned it at halftime. Sort of reminds me of the highlighters that you get in a pack, the bright pink colour. Yeah, if you like your bright kits and you like pink, then it's certainly a kit that you'd like. But it's not for me, but yeah, you certainly see your teammates in a pitch, that's for sure.
I don't mind a pink kit. Obviously, we've had the pink kit as well, but I just think that one was just overly... It's like an luminous kind of colour rather than just being a subtle pink.
It's maybe done by design to shock your opponents, but I think your kit was certainly a more watered-down version of the pink. Mm-hmm. But that aim was, very bright. Maybe just a kit for the winter season.
Well, we'll see how many times they use it over the course of the season. So half-time, obviously, was brought about. We were 1-0 up. We didn't know we were playing well. I suspect maybe words were mentioned at half-time because the commute, they certainly were the better side. And, you know, it was obviously night and day between the two halves, how well we were performing.
I think Jason mentioned that in his post-match on Saturday that they weren't happy when they went into the break, and obviously they came out and made a slight couple of tweaks in the formation as well. And yeah, I think the start of the second half, we liked playing, you know, towards the Balmore Terrace end anyway. And yeah, I think the fact that we'd gone in at half-time, I wouldn't say lucky, but I think if we'd gone in at 0-0, I think they would have had much complaints either. So, yeah, I think the players maybe realised that, you know, although they were 1-0 up, the game was still there for the taking for East Fife, and we had to sort of be a wee bit sharper in the second half.
Yeah, interestingly, you said there about the change of formation slightly, and again, you look at it, and it was O'Keefe was playing further up front. He was playing almost as a three. And we had Jack Brown sitting then just behind them. So it was an extremely attacking formation that we were playing initially there, and I think it was maybe just to try and push them back a little bit further, the East Fife defence, I should say, push them further back.
Yeah, I think especially in the second half, I think they've tried to force them back. I think their only out ball really was down our left hand side, it says, in the first half with Danny Strachan. I think if that was going to be their play in the second half, I'd imagine our thoughts would have been, well, if you can win the ball high up and press them, then you've got that overload with the 4v3 at the back in the wide area. So I think that was maybe part of the reason with the subtle change by putting Conor O'Keefe more central. I think you picked up on it straight away from the, you know, after the kickoff in the second half, that O'Keefe had come well inside and he never retreated back to that wide area till, you know, the substitution started taking effect in the second half. So definitely something that I think that Ryan and Jordan looked at half time and thought, well, how can we try and force them back a wee bit, try and pin them in and get the overload. And yeah, it worked to an extent. I think we were a lot better in the second half.
And we created a lot more chances in the second half. McKee had a shot from the edge of the box. Was it a shot? Was it a cross? Probably one of those where he's taken a cross, but it's a into an area where, you know, it'll look dangerous, and it ended up being a good save by Fleming. O'Keefe had a shot for the edge of the box. Shanks had a header as well. So much better second half, and you felt that a goal was coming, and it was only me coming in one end.
Yeah, and you felt we sort of needed it as well. Like, I mean, I didn't think we were ever in danger, but I think the fact that 1-0 is quite a precarious lead, you want to try and get that second. I think the substitutions that the management team made as well sort of helped us get towards that. And yeah, you always felt if there was going to be a second goal in the game, it was going to be for the home side.
You always felt as well... the longer it went at 1-0, the much more cagier it was going to get. And East Fife were still in it at that stage as well. So, you know, as I said, the longer it went, the more East Fife was in it. You just felt that the only way that they were going to score was for maybe a counter-attack if we were pushing too much for that second. And you felt as though that second would have just killed off the game.
Yeah, that would have been the only thing in the back of your mind, was trying to get the overload in the 4v3 up front, that if you were caught slightly out of position at the back, if you maybe push out your full-backs too far forward, then on the counter-attack they did look a bit of a threat. And that to me would have been their only really way in getting a goal back, maybe a set piece or something as well. But even then, we defended the set pieces pretty well throughout the day. So, yeah, I think on the break would have been their best option. But, you know, as I said, the second goal, if it did come beforehand, you only thought it was going to be for the home side.
And it did come on the 75th minute, scored by Jordan Brown. But great work leading up to the goal, though. Kieran Shanks picking up the loose ball in the halfway line. And by this time, Robert Ward was on, so we're back to sort of the two wingers again. And he only had one thing in mind, Kieran Shanks, was to get the ball over the top and get Wardy running towards the byline, because he's obviously got the pace. Wonderful pass down the left-hand side. Wardy's still got a lot to do. So he beats his man for pace, then beats him once, then twice. Gets a great cross in, and Jordan's there to knock it in at the second attempt. But a wonderful team goal.
Oh, aye, brilliant team goal. I think Wardy's one of them players as well. He's really good impact player coming off the bench. If you've got a tired defender and you've got Wardy up against you, he's got pace to burn, he'll run all day. And like you said, he'd a lot of work to do. He's beaten his man once, nae quite got the angle at that point or the room to put in a cross. He's then come back again and he put in a really good cross, right on the money as well. Jordan Brown, he's done everything right. He's got the header down, keeper's made a great save. And it's fortunate for Jordan, it's gone right into his path and he's managed to put it in the second attempt.
But you say fortunate, but he's obviously got the header and he's reacted quickest as well to then fall in, because it would have been easy for him just to kind of go, oh, what a save, and then they react and go towards the ball. But as you said, great stuff by Wardy doing the left-hand side. And I think beating his man for the second time just allowed Jordan enough time to get into the boxes. You know, he's made a bust and run for the halfway line to get into the area, because it was the Shanks was there and McAllister was in the halfway line as well. So we needed bodies forward. Could it be quite easy for him just to go, well, we'll just try to see what happens here. But he's there. I think O'Keefe was there as well. So there was a couple of bodies in the box that Wardy was able to hit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what I'm liking about the team at the moment as well. We've got runners that'll go. You know, Shanks has come a bit deeper to allow the pass for Ward. And Jordan, he's not just admired the play in front of him. It's happening. He's wanted to be involved. He's gotten involved with it. And it's also the time of the game as well, 75th minute, you can almost forgive the team for thinking, right, there's only 15 minutes to go. We're going to try and shut up shop a wee bit. They've realised, no, we want to get that second goal, almost kill the game off at that stage as well. And yeah, I said he was fortunate, but in terms of keeper's made out a good save and it's fortunate it sort of landed at him, but he's not just, as you said, rightly so, he's not just admired the header and thought, oh, it's a good save. He's followed it in as well. And you've seen the delight with the players, like the guys coming off the bench, Jordan and Robert celebrating as well. I think it's great to see that we've got that team spirit. We've mentioned that a few times throughout the season as well. Two guys coming off the bench, contributing well, you know, helping our teammates out.
And at that stage as well, we had Conor O'Keefe now wide right. We had Robert Ward wide left. So in terms of the fullbacks, you know, coming up against them at that late stage with their pace and their trickery, they must have been sort of going, God almighty, we're going to be in banging trouble here.
Yeah, and that's the difference. We've mentioned it a few times now as well, that the players on the bench have all got a role to play. You know, these are guys, especially Robert Ward, who kind of key started the game, but you know, it's a team game, and when you look at the bench, you're nae any weaker by bringing somebody on. Wardy came on the second half. He's got his assists. He played really well. Probably, unfortunately, he didn't get a start, to be fair, because obviously he scored a goal against Clark, so he's now got a goal and assist contribution in the last two. Again, somebody's just knocking on the door, waiting for somebody maybe not to be playing quite so well. He can sort of take that opportunity and grab it with both hands.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to get for Wardy down the left. And O'Keefe had a shot as well. Again, another good save for Fleming. sort of admire some of the saves that he made during the game. If you look at the one for McKee earlier on and that one there, he could have easily been 3 or 4.
Yeah, and I think McKee's probably my favourite save. I think the way it sort of, I still think Joe's taken a bit of a bad touch, if I'm being honest, and he's got the shot away, shot come cross, but it's how quick and how low the shot is for the keeper to get down and palm it away. I'm an admirer of that save. And yeah, I think had the keeper not been on form like he was, I think had it been a score of 3-4-0, it would not have flattered us either. But again, it's weird because I don't think we played that great. We might potentially have come up with a 4-0 win.
But then the second half was a lot better, and that's what we're saying, that they've gone into half, they've got the lead, and they've got something to build on. You know, say to the players, like, we need to be performing a lot better, and that's exactly what we've done. And then coming out and, you know, get, as we mentioned, you know, other than the goal, we had the McKee shot, we had the O'Keefe shot, Shanks had one as well, O'Keefe had a second one as well. So there was plenty of chances created, much more than we had in the first half.
Yeah, it was much more like us in the second half. I think the first half we were a wee bit flat for a bit of a reason. Second half a lot better, and I think the half-time team talk maybe was a kick up the backside for some of them to realise, okay, we're maybe 1-0 up, but we've still got a lot of work to do. And, you know, attacking what appears to be a really good end for us towards Balmore Terrace side. No complaints. They did a really good job in the second half, and I think over the course of 90 minutes were worthy winners.
And I can't recall Stuart McKenzie having a save to make second half. I think he was pretty much a spectator second half.
Yeah, no, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything either. There was the two saves in the first half, but second half, I can't recall anything, no.
No, I can't even really recall it. Just want to mention as well that the highlights were put out by East Fife on Sunday. Really good highlights package, actually. And you know, them, I think Stenning and Shinrar, I think, put really good packages, highlight packages out. Not just for home games, but obviously East Fife were away from home and still putting out really good highlights as well, which is good to see for League Two sides. Some of them are actually better than some of the Championship or even League One sides as well. So it's good to see things like that coming through.
Yeah, I'm also going to throw Bonnie Rig Rose in when they were up there. Their coverage as well, I thought, was outstanding. Probably, as you said, outside the Premiership, some of the really good stuff. I think there is that thing on YouTube as well. They do like a 30-minute package of the lower leagues. It's just, it's really disappointing that there's not a TV deal for it to allow them highlights to be on TV. But yeah, there is that YouTube thing. But I think the work that some of these volunteers put in, home and away games, and the media stuff that they put out, it's second to none.
And even with an issue with the camera as well, we did notice that midway through the half, that there was a second camera that was used, which you wouldn't even sort of notice going by the highlights.
Yeah, and that's the sign of a really good really good outfit with their media team. Evidently there was an issue with our camera at some point. They had to get a replacement one in from someone that had a spare with them, but it didn't, you know, deteriorate the quality of the video that they put out. Apart from the graphics being wrong, we picked up that on the Sunday, but other than that, a really good package. And again, as you said, it's another team, League Two, an away day, and they've put out a really good highlights package.
Yeah, I must have missed Conor Duffy playing on Saturday because I thought he was out for the season. But hey, oh, there we go. That's the only thing. But much praise to them and their team for that work. Right, let's get some of your thoughts then. Let's start with Louise Cardinal. A great result against an aggressive East Fife team. Standout performance from Jack Brown and Ryan Strachan today. I know we got two bonnie goals, but these two never stopped. And the only foot wrong Danny put wrong prior to coming off resulting in us scoring. Plenty of fouls missed, including one everyone had seen in person, but the officials were the keeper from East Fife at elbowed Shanks. Wasn't always pretty at times, but the lads had nothing left nothing on the pitch, and once they showed their class. We'll come back to the to the ref in a minute, because I think we're going to have a section on him alone. Peter Bruce, another great 3 points against an improving East Fife. Some excellent performances from Blue Team players. Rory McAllister, Jack Brown were especially good. Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, but we've beaten East Fife twice, scored five and not conceded. I think East Fife were better on Saturday than they were in the opening day.
Oh yeah, I'd agree there. I think there's quite a big difference between their team in the first game and the second game. Not in terms of personnel, but just the way they went about the game. I think they were much more of a threat in the second game. But again, it shows you their quality. They were a better team, but they were still, you know, well beaten on the day, to be fair.
Paul Cluett, excellent team performance today. Shape of the team worked well, and Ryan Shacken was different class at the back. And man of the match for me. Ian Cameron, well, that's us done the double on a very good East Fife team. After a very even first half, I thought they controlled the second half and ran out good winners. Rory is a well-deserved man in the match. A joy to watch, not a player not delivering the goods. Double negative there, I almost got tripped up. Rory, outstanding performance. Curran, Raspin, good second half, but these are definitely times when officials should have gone to Specsavers rather than being sponsored by them. Graham McLean, a workmanlike performance, not pretty at times, but got the job done. Can't say anyone had a poor showing apart from the ref. We were maybe guilty of taking an extra touch or trying to beat one more defender than rather than taking a pop, but the 3 points were secured and that's what matters. Top of the pile with a game in hand, we would have dreamt of that last season. Keep up the good work, guys. David Stormouth, East Fife played well, very good football, was very impressed. Super 3 points, as East Fife must be in a false position in the league as they played very well. Manager has them playing football in the correct way. A lot of praise for, you know, obviously Rory got the man of the match, but a lot of praise for different players there. Ryan in particular getting a few praises there. Sign of a good team where there are a few players that are almost deserving of man of the match.
Yeah, I think on Saturday you could easily have picked about three or four different players that could have been man of the match. I think nobody would have had too much issue with, you know, anybody that was picked. I think there was a few different options, and that is a sign of a good team. Everybody's chipping in with good performances. Yeah, when you think of it, we had last season, it's absolute night and day to the performances that we're seeing at Balmore.
Right, let's get to Louise's point about the referee, in particular the elbow by Fleming on Kieran Shanks, which, yeah, I think pretty much everybody had spotted bar the linesman and the referee. Not just that, but there was a few decisions that were questionable. Let's talk about the elbow then. Clear as day, but not picked up.
Yeah, I mean, the referee himself, Chris Fordyce, he's not a person that's sort of high in my books of a referee. We've had him for now the best part of two seasons, and I don't think I've been complimentary so far. And that's not going to change, also, with Saturday's performance, but he was better than fit he was in the first game at East Fife, because based on that performance, absolutely honking. But Saturday wasn't much better, but I thought he was consistently poor throughout the 90 minutes for both sides. In terms of the elbow, I can almost forgive him for not seeing it, in terms of if he's, obviously the corner and free kick, whatever, has been flighted in, and he's gone back thinking the keeper's going to maybe take a kick up the park and he's got to be in position. But what I would say is his linesman's got to be looking, because obviously the defender with the last man is right next to the goalkeeper. So the linesman's got to be looking in that direction. He can't be looking at any other direction, so he must see if it's happened. And, you know, we're at the back of the stand and we can see it's clearly an elbow. So surely he can see it. And that's when their communication, they've got their mics, they've got their earpieces. It's very easy in that situation to be able to speak to a referee, Christopher Dyson, and make the decision. But I just think that the standard of officiating that we've seen this season has been really bad. And I think Christopher Dyson is certainly one of them that, yeah, how he manages to get Premier League games and VAR is beyond me.
Is, just playing sort of devil's advocate here, does the fact that Shanks doesn't go down mean that it's an easier decision for the referee Nate to give, or regardless of, you know, whether he goes down or not, he should be looking at it and picking it up?
Well, yeah, it does make it easier for the referee, but like I said to you on Saturday, why should he Nate he shouldn't have taken Dunne to get that decision. He's been elbowed. Now, you could argue, right, okay, he's got the elbow in the head, and he gets Dunne the rolls three or four times. Then folks say, well, he's theatrical, there's nothing in it. There's a player in that situation, I don't think he can win, but he shouldn't be in the football park and get an elbow. Like, I mean, it's a physical sport. Yes, all be are coming together, but there's a difference between an aerial challenge and an elbow coming across it, and also if it was seen by the keeper on Saturday. But he shouldn't have taken Dunne throwing his arms about, rolling about to try and get the foul. He just shouldn't have been elbowed in the first place.
Maybe it's something that Shanks might learn as his career goes on. Maybe just, you know, go Dunne in a situation like that.
Possibly, but I will also give him credit as well, because I think other players would have gained Dunne. I think if it's a more experienced player, they're getting the contact and they're making it well known to an official that he's been clobbered in the back of the head. But credit to Shanks, he's been honest, he's been a professional about it. He sort of looked at the referee and the linesman and goes, if he's noticed it, they've said that and I've seen it, and he's carried on the game. But I do think another more experienced player would have been making it well known to the officials.
Yeah, so we'll wait for the next East Fife game and see if Chris Fordyce improves anywhere. I'm not holding my breath for that at all. Right, so let's get some of your thoughts and topics of conversation have come in. Scott Reid has asked, in the last two games we've seen Blessing been warming up with other keepers, been not on the bench as he carried an injury. Yes, it's some hand injury of some type he's got. But sort of brings us on to there's a few, you know, walking wounded, if you like. We saw McCarthy coming off with his shoulder. Scott Ross came off. Danny Strachan came off as well early in the second half. Joe McKee came off as well, thinking it's like cramps. But, you know, we've got these knocks. These are lingering. This goes back to what we were saying about the squad game. And particularly next week when we've got the three games in 7 days, you know, we're going to have to maybe rotate the squad a little bit.
Oh, this is going to be a proper test. It'll be a test for the management team as well. They want to come across often where you've got three games in a week, and we are now starting to see players, and it can be an injury, you know, is maybe 2 to 3 weeks, but that can potentially rule you out for four or five games at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. So it's a big part of the season. Its squad rotation will be absolute paramount for the players. They've got to get that rest period. I think there will be a few changes from Saturday to Tuesday. The Stranraer game into Stenhouse Muir. I do think there will be a few changes. But it all depends on which players are going to make it through. I think there'll be a few of them fighting for their position come Friday night in terms of, you know, if the injuries have cleared up.
There's an interesting one here for Andrew Jones. Saying that about passing out the back isn't it great. We've got a crafty number 9 and two fast wingers and a number 10 who's now found his finishing boots. Let's get the ball forward. Long football is what we're looking for. It's been fruitful in this league so far. P.S. Passing across the back is too risky, but the boys have done well. I genuinely think this, you know, you could ask 10 people of different ages this, and you will get sort of 10 different answers based on your age. And I think this is one that will genuinely split the generations. I think this, the older generation, shall I say, try to be polite, will prefer, you know, the long ball, just putting it up to your number, big number 9 or your big number 10, and get it forward as quickly as possible. Whereas, you know, maybe some of the younger ones prefer, you know, the building up for the back, passing it out for the back, and that way. Certainly, I think that's the way that Ryan and Jordan are trying to go.
Yeah, I think Ryan and Jordan are certainly going to be the type of lads that will want to play out for the back. I'll agree at times it is a bit risky. I think we've been caught short on a shorter pass for time to time. But I certainly think the guys know when to go long and when to try and play out for the back. I think Jason Brown's a really good ball-playing defender at times. He can certainly pick out a pass. On the flip side, he can also knock it into row Z and, you know, halfway down Balmore Terrace. But you've got to allow them to be able to decide what route they're going to go around. I don't know, I think you could come up against you know, Elgin's two centre-halves, and you could batter them the whole game by playing long ball, or you could come up against, like, Zastinish Muir with a big centre-half, and that option doesn't really work. So you've got to be able to vary up your play. But I think if the team can do both sides, go long ball and play it short through the midfield, like if you've got players like Joe McKee, Andy McCarthy, Jordan Brown, with their range of passing and how quick they can, you know, see the game, I think you'd be foolish in need to try and go through them at times and use their experience in the game. But a team that can vary up and do base sides, I think, is what we're sort of looking for.
I think that's the thing. I think we're at a stage now where we can mix it up. We can go long if we need to. We can play wide and get to the wingers, and they can sort of take on their fullbacks. We can play it through the middle. McCarthy and McKee certainly are two guys that you certainly want to give the ball, and they can sort of dictate the play. So there's an argument that we can mix it up. But I think your point you were making there, you know, just pumping it long for 90 minutes isn't going to work all the time.
No, I think you need to get game by game basis, or even, you know, within the game, taking it in periods, because there is going to be a time where it's maybe needed a long ball, a knockdown, a flick on, whatever, here and there. But I guess my counter argument would be, would you want to go to Balmoor and watch 90 minutes of your two centre-halves and your two full-backs lumping it forward to McAllister, getting battered for 90 minutes and winning 10 out of 25 aerial duels and nothing really happening? Because all that it takes is for the opposition to two tall centre-backs and a defensive midfielder, and you're really not winning much in the air. So I think you've got to hear a second and third way in playing, and I think if you can incorporate it all into one team, like, so we've got a strong starting 11, if you can, you know, allow them to play three, four different ways, then I think over the course of the season you'll be successful.
There was an incident after the second goal on Saturday with a flare or smoke bomb or whatever it was thrown onto the pitch. And it's warranted that this message here for Graham McLean. He says, one thing it warrants a mention, the total idiot who threw the flare onto the pitch. If you know him or her, get them named, get them banned. Incidents like these could cost the club financially, cause damage to the pitch, injure a player, or open up to censor from the SPFL. We do not want these idiots at the club. I'm all for, you know, atmosphere, and you know, we've seen you know, the youngsters coming in with the drums and making noise, etc., etc. I think when you get something like that coming in, and to be fair, I think it's something that it's actually not even sport. You're not supposed to even hate in the ground. Coming in and then throwing it onto the pitch, you are running the risk of what Graham says there, you know, potential injuring players, injuring another supporter, you know, making a mess of the pitch, and that could be the club that will get it as well.
Yeah, I think there's serious consequences from a situation like this. Maybe potentially for the supporter that's done it, but for the club and the consequences, I wouldn't be surprised if the referee and these officials note that in the match report as well. And, you know, it then becomes fines. And when you're a lower league club, you know, every penny is important for the club. It's crucial to be spending money on potentially fines that are incoming. The, you know, repairing grass as well comes into play. You've got maintenance of it. To me, the pyrotechnics, I'm not a big fan of it. I get the atmosphere it can create. I'm also fully aware of the damage it can cause your fellow spectators and visiting spectators. I'm like you, I'm all for creating an atmosphere, but I do think there's potentially another way to do it, or we look into other ways in doing it. I think there was the Dundee Rangers, I want to say it was, just the other week.
Oh, yeah,
the time of recording it, or the week before. And yeah, the pictures look fantastic, but you've also, you know, for the safety point of view as well, you know, you've got to think if you had family members or friends in that crowd, you know, how safe are they? There is an argument that if you're going to look at doing that, that you've got a safe area to do it. You know, these are all things that will be discussed over the years, I'm sure. But looking at your game on Saturday, yeah, I would say it was foolish to throw it on the pitch. I don't know why you need to take it to Balmoor, to be fair. It's like create that big an atmosphere, if we're being honest. But I do think in this terms, or in this situation, the consequences that outweigh the reward for it. And to me, there's no place for it just now at Balmoor.
As I said, I'm all for, you know, creating an atmosphere, etc. And seeing the young East Fife fan with his bullhorn, we thought, oh, well, this could be an interesting, but to be fair, we never heard much of it apart from it sounded like some kind of alarm going off at the beginning of the the first half. But you know, as I said, we it needs to be done, and it needs to be done in the right manner.
Yeah, by all means, you know, hit the advertising boards, create the noise, come up with songs, take your drums in, fantastic, really good atmosphere. Pyrotechnics, in my opinion, just for me, that's nae welcome. But I include that right across all the divisions in the league, nae just at Ballymore. To me, I don't know, yeah, I kind of how it looks and maybe the atmosphere it creates when you're within that stand. But for me, it's a no.
Yes, we need to be creating more atmosphere, but in the correct way. And hope, and you know, you just think that the club will probably be looking at what happened, you know, the consequences might be great for that one person who's done it.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that person will realise, you know, maybe wasn't the smartest thing to do. But yeah, you don't know, want to see the club refusing, you know, spectators coming in. You want everybody to go there, enjoy the game, but please do it in a safe manner.
So up next we have Stranraer making the long trip up to Ballymore on Saturday, which will be the start of, which I think is going to be a really tricky week for us, and it's going to be a really marker on how well we are performing and how well I think the squad is going to be performing as well. As we've mentioned, you know, a few niggling knocks. We've got three games in 7 days coming up, so it's going to be a real test. And we start with Stranraer on Saturday. You know, we went down there beginning of September, I think it was, at the start of the season, and we didn't play particularly well. We tried a different sort of setup, different formation. Clearly didn't work, and we were, you know, well beaten. I know it was 2-1 in the end. Jason got one late on, but we were well beaten. But, you know, since then, fortunes have been different for both sides. Stranraer went on a five-game loss run after beating us, and we went on a five-game winning run. So the fortunes out of that game, it's certainly been different. It's not a game we should be taking lightly at all. I, you know, they've lost five games in a row in the league, but they've picked up two recently, one in the cup and one against Elgin. So, you know, maybe just starting to hit a bit of form again.
Yeah, I think the way we performed doing there earlier on the season, we sort of, we wouldn't be taking them lightly. I think it was a wake up call as well for Jordan and Ryan. They tried something different and it didn't work. I don't think they'll be trying the same sort of thing again on Saturday. I think they'll stick to what they know works and what works well. But like I said, I don't think they'll take them lightly. I think they'll know that they'll be in a game. I don't think Stranraer is going to come up here and open up whatsoever. I think they're going to be very rigid with their formation. They're going to try and keep it tight, keep it compact, and try and frustrate us. And again, this is a game where we're going to have to be patient. And there's going to be a few of them through the course of the season at home where teams are going to come here and they're going to try and stifle us a wee bit. And we've got to be patient and try and break them down, whether that's early on in the second half, got to stay with the team. But yeah, I think on Saturday we've certainly got the quality, and I think if we start the game well, like we did the Elgin game, we've got two early goals, then I think we should be in for a good afternoon, but we cannot take them lightly.
You know, you look at it and it's a side we're playing against who have conceded the most goals in the league, and we've conceded the second most amount of goals in the league. You know, away from home, they've won one, drawn one, and lost three. They've only scored three times away from home and conceded 13. So, it looks on paper, it certainly looks as though it's going to be a game we should be winning. But as we've said before many times, we shouldn't be taking these sides lightly.
It certainly could be a coupon buster for Free Folk, I would think, if you pick Stranraer, that, you know, going by their form. But yeah, we cannot take them lightly. I don't think we took them lightly doing it at Stranraer, but they evidently tried something that didn't quite pay off. You know, the first half, they really did batter us doing there, and it could have actually been made at half-time. And as you said, obviously, we ended up being 2-1 with Jason Brown's goal towards the end, but sort of flattered us a wee bit, 2-1. Like Jordan said right after the game that, you know, the performance wasn't good enough, and that they tried didn't work. So I think we'll go back to, or, you know, remain what's kept them good this season. As you said, we're up for a tricky couple of games as well. I think if we come out of this run with, you know, 7 points out of 9 for our next three, it's a very, very good return. And, you know, obviously, we'd see us still top of the table.
As we said earlier on, a lot of sort of niggling injuries. So, you know, it depends on how training goes this week. Certainly, Danny doesn't come off unless he really has to. So, that's obviously a concern. Andy McCarthy's shoulder as well. Is he going to be able to play three games in 7 days? Unlikely. I mean, it looked as though he wasn't going to get 5 minutes on Saturday, but sort of ploughed through. His injury is obviously going to need to be managed. We've got Joe McKee maybe struggling to get his 90 minutes as well, Scott Ross. But as we said before, the player sits on the bench can certainly come in and fill a void.
Yeah, this is a time where you're going to need to use your squad. I think Jordan and Ryan will do that. I think they will look to make changes, whether it's two or three per game just to try and keep things fresh, or whether they decide in one game that they're going to make a host of changes. You know, time will tell, but I do think this will be the week or the next 2 weeks coming up where you're going to have to use your squad and, you know, every player will be called upon.
I think it'll be a lot of changes. I think maybe the changes would be, you know, enforced if need be, but, you know, maybe with one eye on the game against Steny on the Tuesday and then Spartans away on the following Saturday.
Yeah, and you've got to factor in as well the travelling as well, Steny, Spartans, so... Yeah, I think Saturday would be the game that they'd maybe look to tweak a few things in terms of the personnel. Although it would be enforced, I think if anybody's a slight niggle and a slight doubt, then they might say, well, sit on the bench, we can use you the last half hour or something. But yeah, squad management will be key over the next 2 weeks.
And again, much like in Saturday, it's about, you know, if we don't go after a good start, it's about managing the game, being solid at the back and not conceding and basically sort of keeping yourself in the game.
I can't remember if it was Ryan or Jason, that said it in their post-match, that how good they are defensively now gives the team basically a platform to go and, you know, build on, and if they're keeping clean sheets then they're always going to be in games. I think that was brilliantly put, because, you know, you'll never win games if you're conceding 1, 2, 3 goals per game. The defence has been really solid and it allows your attacking players to, you know, if you get a chance to get a goal, you can nick it 1-0 and you'll win the game. So, yeah, the platform's there for us. We've now got to go and take advantage of it and, you know, try and win the games.
Right, joining me now on the Blue Team podcast to discuss Saturday's game against Stranraer from the It's No Easy podcast is Brian Martin. Brian, welcome along. Good to have you again. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for calling. Yeah, I was just saying I'm just home for Stranraer about half an hour ago, so I'm fine. Bit perked up with a couple of wins recently, so, you know, I'm okay.
It's certainly been a big change since the last time we spoke to you. Let's go back to the game between the two sides earlier on. It was a 2-1 win for Stranraer. I think you guys had kind of discussed it on the podcast after that you thought Peterhead were particularly poor that day. Was that a fair assessment, do you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I heard you boys saying change formation, which you couldn't understand. And I thought, right enough, I think we were good that day. That was probably one of our best performances of the season. You know, because your defenders made a mistake that he's in for a late goal. But, I mean, it was looking very comfortable, 2-0 victory, you know, until... But obviously, Shanks was missing that day, mm-hmm. You know, which is a big difference for you boys. Striker can, you know, score loads of goals. And I was just looking at his stats before we come on there. So, I mean, obviously... He'll be one star I've got to watch, and of course we've signed McAllister. Well, McAllister played that day, I think.
He did, it was his first game back,
So, you've got a good strike force there, which I'm quite sure we'll go into later on, but Stranraer will have to be on their mettle, you know, to keep them boys out.
And your manager got sent off that game as well for, I guess, using an expletive of some kind. Later on in the game, it's a baffling rule. It's a baffling decision that I still don't understand. Obviously, we were co-manager, got the same at the start of the season as well. Any further explanation on to what happened there?
No, I think he just swore the ref. He never got suspended or anything. Right. You know, he was sent off, and that was it. He was back at the following week. You know, so he wasn't suspended. It must be a rule. They can send you off and then you can still get away with it. You know, I think it maybe depends what you say to the ref.
Or who the ref is.
But I mean, you could say that every week to a ref in League 2, you know. You get sent off every week, but anyway.
But since that win against us, though, you had a run of five defeats on the bounce. How bad a run was that for you?
Well, I think what set it off was we rolled up at Steny, and our centre back, Kyle Gavin, was missing. He'd get injured in training, and we had to play a midfielder who was just a kid, 18. He played at left back, and I think Steny, you know, tore us apart in the first half. And I think Steny, it was a mixture. I think Steny played well that day, but the defence, our defence, you know, was upset because Kyle Gavin was missing. And that five just really, you know, set us back in, on our heels a bit. You know, and we had five starters, I think, missing that day. You know, and it, for Stranraer, that's, you know, we've not got the pull, you know, to, you know, come back for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, okay, the boys should be good enough who are there, but, you know, it's if you're a team like Stranraer and you've got five starters missing, you know, it's quite a hard to take. And the last couple of results, okay, East Fife, we had two players back, but the last couple of results, the players are starting to come back, and so the results have improved, you know. So, I know we've played Strollers and Elgin, but you can see the players' confidence coming back, you know, because these players are coming back. So, I'm making excuses because, I mean, as I say, if you're five short, you know, I mean, and people look at the results and say, oh, Stranraer's poor, but there was excuses for it, you know, and as I say, we've no got the pull, you know, we've no got 7 or 8 weeks to come in, you know, I mean, we've probably got maybe 2 or 3, and in fact, the boy who played at left back that day is now away on loan, so we were under strength that day.
So was there a bit of sympathy towards the manager then during that run that, you know, you were struggling for players, and rather than sort of looking at results, it was you're maybe looking at the bigger picture.
Oh, I mean, the guys who support the team home and away or go to the home games knew the picture Scott was in. You know, I mean, he couldn't do much about it. You know, and he did bring in a couple of players. He's brought in a goalkeeper, and he brought a young kid. In fact, they're both for Rangers B. But you know. It was okay. I mean, the goalkeeper's playing. I mean, the young kid in goal, I always get his name mixed up, so I'm not going to say his name. It's Vinicius. But I just call him Bud these days. But he brought these two boys in, so we've got the other keeper who is our number two keeper. He's going to Grosne, I think it is. So, you know, we're back down to that one keeper plus the boy for the reserves is in. So, but as I say, I mean, we knew, and the fans knew, you know, that Scott was short, you know, and we always knew when these players started to come back, the team would gradually improve, and it's proven the case.
How important was Saturday's win against Elgin then?
Yeah, I mean, we'd lost five in a trot in the league, and we had to get back on, you know, onto the rails, because if you get beat there, you're right into the bottom 4 or 5, you know, and you're just above that. Now you've got to put a wee bit of gap. Elgin and Clyde are looking as though they're going to get adrift, and plus, I mean, Forfar's down there as well, East Fife. So, I mean, there's four, it looks like 6 and 4, you know, I mean, and we had to win to keep, but I think we're about 6 off the top, 8 points off the top. So, I mean, you're there or thereabouts, you know, and you're near the playoff places. So you had to win that game because you've got Peterhead and Stenishmuir coming at Stair Park in a fortnight. So, you know, it was a vital 3 points. It gives you a bit of breathing space. Plus, it gives you a bit of confidence to get into the following game, you know.
Was Elgin maybe the perfect game, I guess, to try and get you back onto winning games, having maybe lost your five and then maybe come up against a Dumbarton or against a Steny or even Peterhead? You might have been looking at maybe 6 games in a row.
Absolutely. I mean, I said in our podcast last week, Scott couldn't have handpicked a better game for him, you know, to get back in the rails. And plus, we got a penalty in 4 minutes. And, you know, I said in commentary yesterday, the Elgin players' heads must have been all over the place. You know, they get beat 6 with Genefield, and then you come to Stair Park and they're winning after four minutes. You know, and we scored a second, and really we should have scored, you know, maybe 3 or 4 first half. We scored the third, and that was probably game over. They got a goal. For an ex-striker of ours, Bobby Jones, a good header it was. I mean, it was a fair set play, and I thought that was the only way they were going to score. You know, because outfield play, you know, I thought they were pretty poor. You know, and Ross Draper's the most experienced player there, but it looks as though it's a bunch of kids basically. Mm. You know, and I was saying, I mean, they look as bad as Cowden Beath. I mean, what happened to Cowden Beath, you know, so we'll wait and see. Long way to go, but I feel that the Elgin's time might be up in this league.
Could well be. So you're making the long trip up to Balmoor on Saturday. Away games haven't been your most favourable so far. I think it's three losses in five, and only scored three times away from home as well. So how do you sort of see this one going?
Yeah, really tricky game. I were away, we're away defeat. We lost a 5-4 to East Fife and Steny in that run, you know. So we haven't been great, and plus we lost to Dumbarton. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, probably apart from East Fife, I'm not doing great. I mean, Steny and Dumbarton are always going to be hard places to go to. You know, I mean, plus Peterhead will be a hard place to go to on Saturday. But as I say, I mean, we're minus a few players for these games. You know, and we're getting these back, so hopefully a better showing at Balmoor on Saturday.
But defensively as well, overall, I think you've conceded the most in League Two. I think Clyde and Elgin are just sort of one and two behind you with 22 goals. And you're coming up against a team that Disney concede as well. We've only conceded six. So do you think it's going to be a tough game for you?
Oh, I'm quite sure it might be. Backs to the wall at times, but I mean, I was saying in them games we lost nearly all the goals. Kyle Garvin, who's our main defender, he was missing, and you know, and it makes a difference. He come back, okay, we can beat four, beat five, but we've conceded one in the last two. Maybe not the greatest opposition, but we've only conceded, you know, one in them two games with Kyle back in, you know, at the back four. I'm quite sure he plays back four again they're basically kids. Gavin and Ross, and you've got even Tommy Williams is quite a young guy. We've got a very young defence, you know, I mean, they're quite inexperienced, but they've played together, well, the two boys in the middle of the centre defence played together for a couple of seasons now, so, you know, they're getting to know him. Plus Shifty, who's the right back, Scott McIntosh, you know, he's a right back, so. It'll be interesting. I think probably on paper, Peterhead will be quite warm favourites, but I'm looking forward to it.
It'd be one of those games maybe where you look at it and go, well, it's almost like a free hit for you. If you didn't get anything out of it, maybe nobody was expecting to get something out of it, will be a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, when we played the first game down at Stair Park, I thought that was one of the Stranraer's better performances of the season. Mm-hmm. Probably the performance of the season. It was a right good win. As I say, the boy Craig Ross passed back to the keeper, was intercepted by your player and he scored, so it made it 2-1, which put a wee bit of took a bit of shine off the score for us. But I thought we played really well. But I know you boys changed your system that day, and you were amazed by what your manager's done, I think. But I think Scott, your manager's kind of shuffled your system a wee bit as well, and it's swapped the last two games, and I'm quite sure it's the same team we'll play on injury free, of course.
Yeah, it was a strange one. They changed the formation, changed the style, but they've reverted back. And then since then, we've gone on this kind of amazing run. So they've obviously recognised that they've tried something, it hasn't worked, and then they've gone back to the old style.
Yeah. I mean, plus you've got the two strikers, you know, McAllister and Shanks, who are scoring goals, which is it's always a task, you know, for a team to go away if you home and try and then stop the strikers scoring. And I'm quite sure Scott will play it tight, you know, for the first 15-20, just to work his sell into the game. That's an important thing. You kind of lose an early goal. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to keep it tight. And last two performances have been good, so hopefully we continue.
Do you expect many supporters to be travelling up for the game?
I wouldn't have thought. It's a long way. I mean, we've got quite a lot of fans in the Central Belt. I myself, I'm travelling to Elgin on Friday night for the weekend. So I'll make my way through there. I know Lawrence Nelson's coming up. Plus, there'll be two or three others, you know, but they'll not get a big crowd there for Stranraer, but, you know, maybe 10, 15. It's a long way.
It can be. Right, Brian, thanks very much again for coming on. Appreciate your time. And we'll safe travels up the road next week, and we'll maybe catch up with you at Balboa.
Yeah, thanks very much, Colin. See you in Saturday.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Brian Martin from the It's No Easy podcast for joining me to preview Saturday's game. And of course for Martin Smith for his insight as always. Big thank you to everyone for your listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. We do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.